Well, I know there's a way he's in the, oh Lord, and it's brighter than the morning. Thank you, Jesus, eh? Thank you, Jesus, eh? Well, eh, well, there's a say, he's in the, oh Lord, and he be right as the morn. Lord, I know there's a say, well, he's in, oh Lord, and he's brighter than the morning. Well, I know there's a, well, he's in there, oh Lord, and he's brighter than the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. Moses, the great spiritual leader of Israel, prayed a prayer in Psalms 90. He said in that prayer, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He said, thou turnest man to destruction, and said, return, O ye children of men, for 1,000 years in his sight are as but yesterday, and even a watch in the night. Went on to talk about who can know the power of thine anger or the fear of thy wrath. And so he said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And God is greatly to be feared. I said, God is greatly to be feared, and he is greatly to be praised. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew. And I want to read verses 24 through 27, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Have that, say amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Using that text in view of the fact that history was made this week, an historic storm roared through our state, roared through the South, leaving devastation and death in his wake. And in view of that, I want to talk. I think there's a message that comes out of that storm for all of us. I want to talk about the game changer. The game changer. Now, the phrase game changer is a new phrase on the verbal and linguistic landscape. And it means something that changes the way we think something that changes the way we do things. It means that which is unforeseeable, that which is unexpected. It means that which is arresting, that which is gripping, something that is profound. It grabs our attention. Many times in the political arena, you hear people talking about a game changer. When Hillary Clinton was on her presidential campaign, she talked about events being a game changer. Then we hear pundits and so-called analysts talk about events or developments that could be a game changer. Even the president talked about, President Obama talked about, that if a nuclear bomb was dropped in one of America's major cities, that would be a game changer. Well, I want to tell you this morning that the storm that came through the South was a game changer. Because this storm affected all of us. It affects people psychologically. It affects people emotionally. Some people were affected by it physically. And it affects people spiritually. But I believe there are some insights, there are some lessons, there are some messages that come out of this storm. And I want to talk about seven messages that come out of the game changer, this storm. And the first insight or message is, this storm is a game changer because it makes us appreciate things we think are routine and take for granted. Now, all blessings come from God. The Bible lets us know in James that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But sometimes we get caught up in mindless living. And we take just routine things for granted. There was a lady being interviewed, and she simply said, you know, it's just wonderful to be able to take a shower. And, you know, we kind of take that for granted. But this storm helped us to realize that even those small things that we don't think about, they come from God. Now, I know there's a lot of propaganda. There's a lot of deception. There are many false prophets going out into the world. There are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. And it causes us not to think about just how important little things are. Just having some bottled water. You might think that's a little thing. But when God sends a storm and is taken away, it becomes a game changer. We ought to be thankful for every day that we live and all of the blessings in the day. We can't afford to get caught up in mindless living. That's why Sly and the Family Stone wrote a song a long time ago entitled Thankful and Thoughtful. And in that song, Sly said that the Lord, Sunday morning, I forgot my prayer. I should be thankful that I could still be there, because some could have come and taken me away. But the main man, that's the Lord, the main man, said I could be here another day. And that's why I ought to be thankful And that's why I ought to be thoughtful. This storm is a game changer, because if we really think, we're not going to look at just routine things. Amen. And then here's number two. This storm is a game changer because it makes us really think about the true meaning of life. What is the real meaning of life? Wise man Solomon said, of all you're getting, get understanding. He also said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. One of the most important things any of us can do is think, and think clearly. Because if you don't think right, you can't live right. Is that right? If you don't think right, you can't live right, and you won't live right. But if you think right, you can live right. Well, what's the real purpose of life? What's the real meaning of life? I heard a great motivational speaker said that my vocation is what I'm paid for. My purpose is what I'm made for. If you run over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Brother Hillary, look at verses 13 and 14. We'll see the real meaning, the real purpose of life. Let's just see what Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 says about the real meaning or the real purpose of life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is life all about, brothers and sisters? Here's a wise man, a man who had tried all kinds of things. And maybe in your life, you tried a little this, you tried a little that. Amen. Maybe you took the buffet style approach to living. Amen. Well, he tried a little of this, he tried a little of that. Well, here is his conclusion. What did he say, Brother Hillary?
Fear God.
Fear God. The real meaning of life is to fear God. That's what life is all about. This book will help all of us if we receive it. But, of course, we can ignore it at our own peril. Amen. Read, Brother Hillary.
And keep his commandments.
For this is the whole of man. Now, duty is not in the Hebrew text. This is man's purpose. To fear God. And keep his commandments. This storm made me think about the meaning of life. Amen. We sat there praying. Were you praying? If you were smart, you was praying. Amen. And you didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, I'm glad to see my son in the audience today. And he was down in Tuscaloosa. And we could see the tornado on TV, and he was talking to his mother on the phone. This monster tornado tearing up Tuscaloosa. And he told her, I can see it, I can see it. And there I was sitting there with my heart in my throat. Helpless. And maybe this will help somebody. Here's what he told his mother. She said, I thought I was going to die. And I was getting ready to tell you bye, and you tell daddy bye. Now that's a tearjerker there. Amen. And some students did die. So that lets me think about what is the real meaning of life. Because he didn't have to come through that. We didn't have to come through it. Is that right? But then I'll let you know, just because you're young, that don't mean you can't lose your life. Just because you're doing your thing, doesn't mean you can't lose your life. Is that right? I said last Sunday, I didn't know how prophetic it would be, but I made a statement about Jesus said that there are 12 hours in a day, talking about a man's lifestyle. And I pointed out in that message, and Sister Scott pointed it out to me, and I pointed out that you're not going to die until God said for you to die. Now, isn't that true? Amen. And so he let death pass and life to last. So this storm is God's way of preaching. Is that right? Here's a third lesson or insight from this storm. This storm is a game changer because it helps us to see the truth about sin and its destructiveness. Now, one of the most destructive things in the world, brothers and sisters, and I know it's hard for people to see this, sin, and I don't minimize, I don't trivialize the pain and the suffering that people have gone through in this storm. But one of the most destructive things in the world is sin. It is more destructive than this storm we saw. Now, that's physical. We can see that. Sin is a spiritual storm. Because, listen, whenever sin finishes, it always leads death. Let's prove it. Brother Hillary, run over to James chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. Sin is more destructive than the tornado to our souls and destiny. But it's hard to see that. Amen. But when sin is finished, it always leads death. Always. No exception. Read, Brother Hillary.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life.
He'll receive the crown of life.
Which the Lord hath promised.
The Lord hath promised. Come on.
Let no man say
when I'm tempted that God tempted me. Come on.
God can't be tempted with evil.
So God doesn't encourage me to sin. I sin on my own. Hello, y'all. Whenever I sin, God ain't got nothing to do with it. Don't put the Lord in my sin. When I sin, it's because I wanted to sin. Y'all might well come on, say amen and praise the Lord. And tell the devil he's a lie. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
But Every man is tempted. When he is drawn away.
Every man is tempted when the devil is drawing me away.
Of his own lust and entice.
Because, you see, it's got to be some desire involved. Amen. And the devil, he throws out, he baits the trap. You see, just like those two mice standing in the corner, and they're looking at the cheese in the trap, and they want to figure out who's going to get it. You understand what I'm saying? And they said, one mice said, well, I'll go ahead and get it. And he went and got it and got his neck broke. And the other mice came and went on and got it, Brother Hillary, after he was dead. Well, sin is like that mouse. It always breaks your neck. It always kills you. Come on, Brother Hillary, read it.
Then
when lust hath conceived. Why? And he uses the figure of a woman receiving seed. We understand the concept of conception, don't we? That's the figure that he uses. A woman receiving seed, and she conceives. Read.
It bringeth forth sin.
And it bringeth forth. So when a woman conceives, she's going to bring something forth. Whether it's a stillbirth, an abortion, an early birth, or a full-term birth, whenever a woman conceives, she is going to bring something forth. Amen? That's just the way it is, isn't it? Whatever sin conceives in my heart, that's when my desire and my will unite. Amen. Read, Brother Hillary.
And sin,
when it is finished, it always brings death. Now, this past Wednesday, we saw a tornado. And I had a chance to just go up 78 and just look at the devastation. Bog peeled off trees. Houses lifted off their foundation. The devastation is breathtaking in mind, Bob. But do you not understand? I can see that physically. Sin does more damage than that. Sin is a spiritual tornado. We saw the earthquake in Haiti, didn't we? We saw the devastation in Haiti. Is that correct? We saw the earthquake in Japan. We saw the devastation there. Is that correct? We saw the tsunami in Japan. We saw the death and the devastation. Is that correct? We saw the hurricane in New Orleans, Katrina, and along the Gulf Coast. And we saw the devastation and the destruction. Is that right? Well, sin is like a spiritual tornado. Sin is like a spiritual earthquake. Sin is like a physical tsunami. And it always brings about destruction. Is that all right? It always does. Amen? So we have to think about it. Now, here's the fourth thing I want you to see that comes out of this game. The fourth thing is there is a connection. This storm is a game changer because there's a connection between counting the cost and building your house. Counting the cost and building your house. In the parable of the builders, Jesus talked about, Brother Harris talked about this in our men's session this morning. In the parable of the builder, Christ talked about two builders. And we're building a house that will stand, or we're building a house that's going to fall. There are some people, this is real life, there are some people in Birmingham, wherever they are making decisions that's going to be catastrophic for their lives. Are you listening? They are making decisions. Was that storm catastrophic? There are people who are making decisions that's going to be catastrophic. That's the parable. That's real life. Some people, the way they live is a tragedy. Their life is a tragedy. Their lifestyle is a tragedy. And the only thing death does is magnifies the tragic way you live in. Then there are some people who are making sound decisions. Now, when I heard the meteorologist, my sister said, when the meteorologist was giving a report, and when you hear these professional folks telling you, good Lord, you know you got something. And that was one professional meteorologist when he was talking about the storm. And when he got through, he said, we need to pray. And my sister said she knew it was bad then. Now, when you got television folk telling you to pray, you know you got a situation. Is that right? When the storm came, if you were wise, you went to your safe place, didn't you? If you were foolish, you didn't. Is that right? Is that correct? And if you know anything about real life, we have real weather in life, don't we? Know anything about real weather sometimes? You know, I thank God for this calm, serene day. You thanking for it? Because when the wind get high, some of us going to almost have a nervous breakdown. Come on, y'all. That's the psychological impact. I thank God, Brother Harry, for this calm, serene, tranquil day. If you know about weather, sometimes you have sunny days. Sometimes you have breezy days. Right? And sometime in real weather, you have storms. And they beat up on your house. And not only do I need a physical house, because people's homes have been destroyed, they're going to have to replace those homes. But not only do I need a physical house, I need a spiritual house. Is that right? And I ought to build my house. My life ought to be built upon the teaching of Jesus Christ. This storm ought to tell me that I ought to build my life on the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Amen. Here's number five. This storm provided an opportunity for us to help each other. Now let me mention two words: selfishness and self-interest. Selfishness is a bad word, is a negative word. Amen. Self-interest is a good word, is a positive word. We see an example of selfishness with the rich fool in Luke 12. He didn't help anybody. He didn't care about anybody. Is that right? And that's bad when you just only can think about yourself. Amen. We see a good example of self-interest in Acts 2:40, where Peter said, save your, nothing wrong with saving yourself, church. Is that right? Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't help anybody else. Is that correct? But selfishness, this storm, helps all of us to take our minds off ourselves. Hello? And think about somebody else. Jesus said that we are better off when we help other people. We're better off when we all, listen, when we all understand, and I know we fight and we argue, don't like each other. Preach, Moss. Little petty stuff. Amen. Won't help each other. I ain't getting you nothing. But Jesus said we're better off when we help each other. And whether you realize it or not, we all need each other. We need each other. I don't care if you don't like you, you need me. I don't care if I don't like you. Come on, y'all. This world becomes a better world when people help other people. Here's a chance now for all of us to rise up and do something for somebody else. And don't you feel good when you do something for somebody else? This world is a better world when we build bridges and not walls. Hello? This world is a better world when we cooperate with one another. This storm provides, and let me just tell you, it's going to be a long road of recovery for a lot of people. Listen. Right now, it's a fresh story. Is that right? The media is there. The politicians are there. But that's going to come a time they're going to go to the next story. Are you listening? Do you see any cameras rolling now in New Orleans at Katrina? It's going to be a long road of recovery. So here's a chance for all of us. This storm is giving me a chance to help somebody. That's what it says to all of us. Amen. Every one of us can do something to relieve somebody that's under a burden today. Amen. You might say, well, Brother Moss, I can't do very much. Do the little you can do. Do what you can to help somebody. Amen. Here's number six. This storm is a game changer because it provides an opportunity to strengthen my faith. To strengthen my faith. There are many things that happen in life I can't explain. But I do know this. We walk by, we live by faith and not by. Without faith, it's you can't please God if you don't have faith. And a lot of people in the church, you may think you're having a money problem, a relationship problem. You're really having a faith problem. Is that all right? Because some people, you know, there are different levels of faith. There's weak faith. There's little faith. And then there's great faith. Is that correct? And so I ask the question, what does faith have to do with storms? You're going to stop believing in God because of what happened? Some people perhaps upset at God. But you don't have, faith doesn't answer all the questions. But faith helps me to make it through the situation regardless of what happens. What does faith have to do with destruction? What does faith have to do with disappointment? What does faith have to do with burdens? Now, you can have a lot of possessions, and I'm sure a lot of us have things in our lives that we consider are precious. Is that right? But nothing is more precious than your faith. Let me prove that. Let's go to Galatians 5:6. Well, you say, well, what about love? I want to show you something. Nothing is more precious than your faith because there's a connection between faith and love. Galatians 5:6, that's what it say. What does it say?
For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything.
All right.
Nor uncircumcision.
All right.
But faith which worketh by love.
Which works by love. So here's a chance. I would imagine, brothers and sisters, that people prayed prayers Wednesday that hadn't prayed prayers in a long time. Is that right? And I would imagine that not only did they pray one prayer, I think they prayed multiple prayers. How many times you pray Wednesday? You lost count, Wes? Wes said a whole lot. In fact, I prayed so much, Hillary, I lost count. Is that right? Did you keep praying? And we prayed then because we had an emergency, didn't we? Is that correct? But we should always pray and not lose heart or become discouraged. Here's the seventh lesson. The seventh lesson, this storm, the game changer. This storm provides an opportunity to open the door, open some people's hearts to receive the gospel. We don't know how many people God's going to save through this storm. That perhaps some people who were not willing to listen now are ready to listen to what thus saith the Lord. Is that right? But let me tell you about another game changer. It was a game changer when God sent his son into this world. He changed the game, didn't he? And he changed the game so much this world will never be the same again. Since God's son has come and died on the cross, been buried in Joseph's tomb, got up early one Sunday morning with the keys of death and hell round his waist, send it back to heaven. And while he sent it back, somebody said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, Lord have mercy, shall come in. Somebody in Birmingham needs to hear that Jesus died for your sins. You need to hear that, and you need to believe it with all of your heart. Somebody in Birmingham needs to repent of their sins. Confess the sweetest name ever to roll from mortal tongue. And somebody in Birmingham needs to be baptized in water for the remission of their sin. And somebody in Birmingham needs to let the Lord add you to his church. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that good news? And then perhaps there's somebody, a member of this congregation, and you know you ain't living right. This storm is a call from God to get your life right, to get your house in order. Is that right? God allowed you to be here. Some people, and let's think about something. Let's be real. There were some people who were here last Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. Is that right? There were some people who were alive last Sunday, but were taken away by the storm this week. Now, I want you to think about something, and let's be for real. God allowed us to be here for a purpose. We can't afford to ignore why he allowed me to be here. And what all of us ought to do is examine ourselves. And you ask yourself, what is the Lord trying to speak to your heart? Is the Lord telling you to get your heart right? Is the Lord telling you to get your life right? Is the Lord telling you that you need to get closer to him? Because I know he's speaking to me. Because after this storm, I've just been having a hard time sleeping. And I kept thinking about it. I could have lost my son. But God had mercy. I could have lost me. Could have lost other family members. But isn't it amazing that to have a storm of this magnitude, as Brother Harris prayed in his prayer, and you didn't lose not one member of your family? You don't think that's significant? To pass through a storm like this and your house didn't get touched? You don't think that's a message? To pass through a storm like this and your car doesn't get touched? Isn't that a message? Pass through a storm like this, you don't have to go to the hospital. Isn't that something? I know my daughter Brooke was in an accident. So I'm rushing to the hospital. Sad feeling to see your child coming in on an ambulance. So she asked me, Daddy, why this keep happening? Baby, I don't know why it's happening. But it's a message in it. You got to look at your life. Why the Lord let you live another day? You know, we don't ask him about the blessings. Why you were so good to me, Lord? Lord, why you were so good to me? We don't ask him that, do we? We only ask him when things don't go as well as we. Is that correct? So perhaps this is a time for somebody that's a member of our congregation to rededicate your life. And you say, I'm going to become a servant for the Lord. And I'm going to use the rest of my life, however long that is. Can you say amen to that? I'm going to use the rest of my life, no matter how long that is, in the service of the Lord. Isn't that a good thing to do? And one thing about it, I know for, as I close this morning, I know for one thing, I can't escape God. You can't run from God. Amos talked about that. Let me show you how awesome God is as we conclude. Amos talked about the fact about a man running from a lion, met a bear, ran in a house, leaned on a wall, and a snake bit him. Let me show you how awesome God is. You run from the lion. You meet a bear. You run into a house and you think you're safe, and there's slithering down the wall a serpent that bites you. I was watching a video this week, Yvonne, and this elephant, this mama elephant was trying to just mind her business, drinking some water, and an alligator jumps up out the water and grabs her trunk and pulling her down in the water. Now, she wasn't there to get bit. And Brother Hillary, she struggled, and it was a life and death struggle. And finally, she shook the alligator off and went on about her business. You know, life can be that way. You can be there drinking some water, just minding your business, and life jumps up like an alligator and bites you and doesn't want to let you go. Is that right? But listen to what David said as I conclude. He said, whether shall I flee from thy spirit, or whether shall I go from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, behold, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I say, surely the night will cover me, he said, even the night shall be light about me. He said, the night and the day are alike unto thee. So this storm, as we conclude, was a game changer. How many can say this morning you think your life will never be the same again? After you witness such a game changing event. And that's why I can say this morning, I don't know about you, but I can say this morning, as the hymnologist said, why should I feel discouraged? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home, Brother Wynn, when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. Can you say amen to that? His eye is on the sparrow. And can anybody know this morning? I know he watches me. Is that all right? Anybody say, I sing because I'm happy. Lord, I sing because I'm free. His eye, Lord have mercy, is on the sparrow. And I know, hallelujah, he watched over me. Is that all right? And because I know he watches me, I can say I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Is that all right? Because his eye is on the sparrow, I can say, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run, not be weary. Yes, they'll walk and not faint. Is that all right? They that wait upon the Lord can say this morning, if God be for you, doesn't matter who's against you. Is that all right? If God be for you, you can say, I know everything gonna be all right. Well, I read in my Bible, Brother West, in Mark chapter 4, about one day, about a man who could control the storm. Is that all right? Jesus Christ was in a boat. He was sleeping in the boat, and a mighty storm swept down, Brother Ben, upon the blue bosom of the Galilee Sea. Is that all right? And the disciples freaked out. They got afraid. And they said, Master, don't you care if we perish? Is that all right? Jesus got up from his sleep and spoke to the winds and the waves, Brother Ryan. And he said, peace, 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 be still. Is that all right? And when they saw it, they said, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Is that all right? What kind of man is this that comes down through 42 generations to see about me? Is that all right? What kind of man is this that would die on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary for my sin? Is that all right? What kind of man is this that would write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is that all right? And I'll tell you, this man is the Son of the living God. This man is Mary's baby. This man is the champion of Mount Calvary. Is that all right? This man is the bread of life. This man is the resurrection and the life. This man is the extra that makes my life worth living. That's the kind of man who brought me through the storm. That's who brought me. And I ain't confused about that. I know who brought me through the storm, Jesus Christ. He told me. And even though sometimes I may not feel like it, this is what he told me. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I. Now, ain't that good news? Is that good news, y'all? I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And sometimes I know from an emotional standpoint, I may feel like I'm by myself. Come on, y'all. But I still say, he says, Sister Smith, no matter what happens. And Sister Smith said that somebody said, you at your home by yourself? She said, no, I ain't by myself. The Lord with me. And she was exactly right. You know why she was right? Because the Lord said, I will never, I don't think y'all heard me. I will never forsake you. Now, some of your friends will leave you. Hello, y'all. You wonder, oh, I just don't see how she left me. Well, that's what folks do. That's real life. Folks you were counting on don't be there. Huh? Folks you thought were going to help you ain't going to help you. Hello, y'all. I know we talk about how the world ought to be, but we live in the real world. And in the real world, folks fall out with each other. In the real world, tongue and teeth fall out. Come on, y'all. But there's a man who says, listen, I will never stand on your feet. I will never. Sister Yvonne, he said, I will never leave you. How'd that make you feel, Sister Pat? He said, I will. No matter what you go through. Isn't that beautiful? Even if you walk through the valley and the shadow of death, what does he say? I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Isn't that good news? And one day, church, as we conclude, I'm going where the chilly wind don't blow. Can you hide behind the mountain? Where the chilly wind. You're going to a place, church, that where the wind don't blow. Is that all right? You're going to a place where be no tears. You're going to a place where you'll never grow old. Huh? You're going to a place where it's going to always be howdy, howdy, never goodbye. You're going to a place where you won't need no painkillers. Motrin and Advil. Ben Gay, thank you, Lord. Huh? And you're going to a place where we used to sing a song, where no storm clouds. Hallelujah! Rise. Ain't that good news? So just keep on holding on, amen? No matter what happened, keep on holding on. I am going to hide, be Lord, hide behind the mind. Well, I'm gonna hide. Be well, hide behind the mind. Well, I'm gonna hide. Be oh, hide behind the mind.